Question 20. Just exactly what do the words careless, reckless, and using excessive force mean? Answer 20. Firstly, we must not forget that football is a tough combative sport with lots of body contact. Gaining possession of the ball should nevertheless be done in a sporting manner. Most challenges for the ball can, and are, committed fairly and in a vigorous fashion, and should not always be penalized by the referee. Serious foul play and violent conduct, including spitting, are strictly forbidden, and must be stringently dealt with by the referee. Careless is when a player attempting to challenge for the ball which is in close proximity to an opponent, puts a great deal of honest effort into the challenge, but wildly mistimed it, and in doing so fouls the opponent. This includes when a player challenging for the ball has not exercised proper care, or has misjudged or mistimed a tackle when making his play, or when a player has miscalculated the strength required to challenge fairly, or has overstretched his leg when making the challenge. This type of foul is common, and should be penalized with an award of a direct free kick or penalty, if occurring in the player's own penalty area, and a quiet verbal warning by the referee. A careless tackle does not necessarily warrant a caution, depending on the severity or the number of persistent offenses committed previously by the perpetrator. A quiet word usually suffices in normal circumstances. The word careless can also mean absent-minded, hasty, heedless, inconsiderate, negligent, regardless, thoughtless, unconcerned, and sloppy. The referee must also learn to differentiate between an act carried out against a minor and a similar act carried out against a senior player. What is an excessive push on a minor? Might not even be noticed in a professional match involving senior players, where body contact is more prevalent and readily accepted as part of the game. Reckless is when a player makes a challenge in a manner where there is a clear risk of endangering an opponent, but pays no regard to the possible consequences and the safety and/or welfare of his opponent. This includes when a player has made a challenge for the ball and it has done it such a way that it clearly intimidates or distracts an opponent, regardless of any potential danger to that opponent. The challenger himself does not have to make contact with the opponent. Many opponents are adept at riding challenges by jumping up to prevent contact being made. The intimidation alone is enough to warrant the tackling player being penalized. For example, a reckless sliding tackle may be executed with the sole aim to intimidate an opponent or distract him from shooting towards goal. The punishment for a reckless challenge is a direct free kick to the opposing team, or penalty, if occurring inside the perpetrator's own penalty area. And usually a caution for unsporting behavior, if the reckless challenge was outside the sporting bounds expected in normal play. A strong verbal warning by the referee is also recommended. The word reckless can also mean daredevil, devil-may-care, foolhardy, harebrained, hasty, headlong, heedless, imprudent, inattentive, irresponsible, madcap, mindless, negligent, overventuresome, rash, regardless, thoughtless, and wild. I like the word harebrained. This sums up, for me, what a reckless challenge is all about. Excessive force is when a player makes a challenge, which may be malicious or brutal, and may be designed to hurt or maim an opponent. These are the worst types of tackles, where a player has placed an opponent in considerable danger of being injured by the use of unnecessary force when making a challenge for the ball. If the challenge involves excessive force far outside the bounds expected in normal play, this is serious foul play. And the referee must send the player off and award the direct free kick to the opposing team, or penalty, if occurring in the perpetrator's own penalty area. The use of excessive force should at the very least warrant a caution against the perpetrator and a very strong verbal warning by the referee. Winning the ball first is not an excuse for a challenge of this nature to be deemed legal. Players who plead their innocence because they have won the ball just before breaking an opponent's leg in a tackle using excessive force should be strongly, immediately, and properly dealt with by dispatching with a red card. Question 21. An attacker is in an offside position inside his opponent's penalty area, but not involved in the active play. The ball is in play and near the halfway line. This attacker is then violently thumped by an opponent. What action should the referee take? Answer 21. As offense took place inside the penalty area, when the ball was still in play, the referee should stop play, send off the perpetrator for violent conduct, and award a penalty kick to the attacker's team. Question 22. During a game, a defending player had left the field of play to receive treatment. Whilst he was outside of the field of play and very near his goal line, he deliberately puts a foot inside his penalty area and purposefully trips an attacking opponent who is inside the defender's penalty area. What action should the referee take? Answer 22. By putting his foot back inside the field of play, the defender has actually re-entered the field of play and has therefore placed himself back under the full jurisdiction of the referee and the laws of the game. The defender will be treated as if he is fully on the field of play. The referee should caution the defender for unsporting behavior and award a penalty kick to the attacking team. If the tripping action took place outside of the penalty area, then a direct free kick should be awarded to the attacking team. If the tripping action prevented a goal-scoring opportunity, the defender should be sent off for preventing the goal-scoring opportunity. Question 23. What action should a referee take when during play, two members of the same team start fighting and exchanging blows on the field? Answer 23. The referee should stop the match and send both players off for violent conduct. Play should be restarted with an indirect free kick to the opposing team from the place where the blood marked the spot. Question 24. If when diving to gather the ball, a goalkeeper inadvertently slides towards the edge of his penalty area, and his hands, which are still holding the ball, travel outside of the penalty area, what action should the referee take? Answer 24. The referee should stop play and award a direct free kick to the attacking team. If the referee believes that this action by the goalkeeper prevented an opponent from having a clear goal-scoring opportunity, then the goalkeeper should be sent off the field of play. Question 25. If whilst challenging for the ball, a defender, not the goalkeeper, standing just outside his own penalty area, stretches his arm inside the penalty area and deliberately handles the ball within his penalty area, what action should the referee take? Answer 25. The referee should stop play and award a penalty kick to the attacking team. If the referee believes that this action by the defender prevented an attacker from having a clear goal-scoring opportunity, then the defender should also be sent off the field of play. Question 26. During a match, it was noticed that the referee showed a red card to a substitute sitting in the technical area and asked that substitute to go to the changing rooms. Is the referee allowed to show a red card to players who are not on the field of play? Answer 26. Yes. The players and the substitutes and team officials come under the jurisdiction of the referee. It does not matter whether they are on the field of play or not. The referee can yellow or red card the substitutes and ask them to go into the changing rooms. By showing the red card to the substitute, the referee has given a clear indication to all that the substitute has been sent off. A card can also be shown to a substitute who has already been substituted. Yellow and red cards should not be shown to team managers, coaches, or any other non-players. They might not be cautioned or sent off or shown any card. Nevertheless, the referee can, at his discretion, warn team officials regarding their behavior. He can also dismiss them from the field of play and its immediate area, including the technical area. When a coach or other team official is dismissed, the referee must tell them that he will be reporting their misdemeanor to the appropriate authority. The referee must report such incidents using a normal disciplinary report form. A dismissed medical trainer, punch man, doctor, or any other such medical assistant can remain in the technical area after being dismissed to be available to treat injuries during the remainder of the game, but an appropriate misconduct report will still be sent in by the referee. The referee's authority begins as soon as he arrives at the area near the field of play and continues until he has left that area at the end of the match. This authority includes: A. When the ball is not in play because of temporary suspensions, for example whilst a player is being treated. B. The halftime interval, and C. During additional periods of play or kicks from the penalty mark required by the rules of the competition. It can be argued that the referee's jurisdiction lasts forever. For example, if 2 days after a match, whilst the referee is quietly walking down the street, he receives abuse from a known player relating to a recent match incident, the referee should seriously consider reporting this to the appropriate football authority. I certainly would. Question 27. An attacker is seen running with the ball towards his opponent's goal just inside the opponent's penalty area. A defender is running very close behind the attacker. In the motion of running, their legs get tangled up, the attacker falls down in a heap. Is this a penalty or not? Answer 27. This is a difficult decision for the referee to make. It all depends on whether or not the referee deems this action to have been committed accidentally whilst both players were solely intent on the ball, or purposefully committed by the defender to prevent the attacker moving further towards goal. If the referee believes that the collision was deliberately orchestrated by the defender, then a penalty kick, or a direct free kick if occurring outside of the penalty area, should be awarded to the attacking team. If the referee believes that the purposeful action by the defender prevented the attacker from having a clear goal-scoring opportunity, then the defender should be sent off the field of play. If the referee deems that the incident was purely accidental, then he should allow play to continue. The referee should be aware that when he takes the action to allow play to continue, he will undoubtedly receive a disparaging comment or two from the attacking player and his colleagues. The referee should penalize any dissenting comments accordingly. During incidents of these types, referees are advised to quickly run away from the near vicinity. This prevents players having a go. If the referee is not near, then players will very often not bother too much about moaning. If the incident is purposefully done by a defender outside of the penalty area, the referee can allow advantage if the attacker manages to stay on his feet with the ball after the collision and carries on unaffected towards the goal. The defending team should not be given the advantage of having the attacking play stopped and brought back for a free kick. The referee can also consider cautioning the defender or sending him off if the action prevented the attacker from having a clear goal-scoring opportunity. The referee will have to consider very carefully when awarding advantage inside the penalty area following an incident of this nature. If the referee does award advantage and allows the attacker to shoot towards goal, and the attacker subsequently misses the goal, then the referee is on dubious ground if he then awards a penalty. My gut reaction would be to blow quickly for a penalty before any further action has taken place. I have seen some referees wrongly award an indirect free kick for dangerous play during these accidental tripping type of incidents. It is either an unintentional accident or a deliberate foul. Either play on or award a penalty kick or a direct free kick if occurring outside of the penalty area. It is certainly not a dangerous play indirect free kick. See question 7 above. Question 28. Handball or not handball? Can you explain exactly when a player should be penalized for handball or not? Answer 28. Handball ref. Handball ref. Handball ref. Handball ref. Question 29. If a player purposefully lies on top of the ball for an unreasonable amount of time, what actions should the referee take? Answer 29. The referee should stop play immediately. This will prevent players trying to kick at the ball whilst it is underneath the player on the ground. The player should be cautioned for unsporting behavior, and the match restarted with an indirect free kick to the opposing team. If a player, or players, accidentally falls on top of the ball, and it looks as though the ball will not be immediately released naturally, the referee should stop play immediately to prevent injury to the player, on the ground, and restart the match with a dropped ball. Question 30. Exactly what is the difference between an indirect free kick and a direct free kick? Answer 30. It is not the direction of the kick that counts, or which goal it is aimed at. A goal cannot be scored direct into the opponent's goal from an indirect free kick. A goal is counted if following an indirect free kick, the ball subsequently touches another player before it enters the goal. If an indirect free kick is kicked directly into the opponent's goal, then a goal kick is awarded. A goal can be scored direct into the opponent's goal from a direct free kick. If a direct free kick or an indirect free kick taken outside of a team's penalty area is kicked directly into that team's own goal by one of its players, then a corner is awarded to the opposition. If a direct free kick or an indirect free kick taken inside of a team's penalty area is kicked directly into that team's own goal by one of its players, then the kick must be retaken because the ball must leave that team's penalty area before it comes into play. In this instance, the ball did not leave a penalty area, and the kick should therefore be retaken. The referee should indicate an indirect free kick by raising his arm straight upwards. The arm remains in this position until the kick has been taken, and the ball has touched another player, or goes out of play. There is no official referee signal for direct free kicks. The fact that the referee does not raise his arm indicates that the kick is direct. If the referee forgets to raise his arm during an indirect free kick, the kick is still indirect, even though he has not indicated so with his upraised arm. The indirect free kick does not become a direct free kick just because he forgets to raise his arm. A direct free kick given against an opponent's team inside the opponent's own penalty area is a penalty kick to the attacking team. This will change when the new law comes in, allowing the referee to move the ball off the field 10 yards following cautioning a player for delaying the restart of the game. If a direct free kick is subsequently moved from outside of the penalty area into the penalty area because the referee has moved the ball upfield 10 yards, the kick remains a direct free kick and not a penalty kick. An indirect free kick within the penalty area is always an indirect free kick. A direct free kick is awarded to the opposing team if a player commits any of the following six offenses in a manner considered by the referee to be careless, reckless, or using excessive force. Kicks or attempts to kick an opponent. Trips or attempts to trip an opponent. Jumps at an opponent. Charges an opponent. Strikes or attempts to strike an opponent. Pushes an opponent. A direct free kick is also awarded to the opposing team if a player commits any of the following four offenses. Tackles an opponent to gain possession of the ball, making contact with the opponent before touching the ball. Holds an opponent. Spits at an opponent. Handles the ball deliberately, except for the goalkeeper within his own penalty area. A direct free kick is taken from where the offense occurred. Penalty kick. A penalty kick is awarded if any of the above 10 offenses is committed by a player inside his own penalty area, irrespective of the position of the ball, provided it is in play. Indirect free kick. An indirect free kick is awarded to the opposing team if a goalkeeper inside his own penalty area commits any of the following five offenses. Takes more than 6 seconds while controlling the ball with his hands before releasing it from his possession. Touches the ball again with his hands after it has been released from his possession and has not touched any other player. Touches the ball with his hands after it has been deliberately kicked to him by a teammate. Touches the ball with his hands after he has received it directly from a throw-in taken by a teammate wastes time. An indirect free kick is also awarded to the opposing team if a player, in the opinion of the referee, plays in a dangerous manner, impedes the progress of an opponent, prevents the goalkeeper from releasing the ball from his hands, commits any other offense not previously mentioned in Law 12, for which play is stopped to caution or dismiss a player. The indirect free kick is taken from where the offense occurred. Question 31. During a cup final match, a particular attacking player had missed a number of good scoring chances. The score is 0-0 with only 1 minute remaining. This attacker then scores a goal. Immediately after scoring the goal, this attacker runs over towards the opposing team's supporters, lowers his shorts and shows his backside to the crowd, and then towards the opposition's technical area. What action should the referee take, and should the goal be allowed? Answer 31. As this disgraceful action took place after the goal had been scored, the goal must be allowed to count. The referee should send off the attacker for committing an offensive gesture. Law 12 states that a player is sent off if he uses offensive or insulting or abusive language and/or gestures. An offense of this nature does not have to be committed towards an opponent. It can be committed against anyone, and in this instance, the offense was committed against the opposing team's supporters. Question 32. As the referee is releasing the ball during a dropped ball situation in the penalty area, a defending player thumps an opponent after the referee has released the ball, but before the ball touches the ground. What action should the referee take? Answer 32. Law 8 states that during a dropped ball, the ball does not come into play until it has touched the ground. In this instance, the ball had not touched that ground before the defender struck the opponent. The referee should send off the defender for violent conduct and restart play with a dropped ball. Question 33. During play, if a player hits or spits at one of his own teammates in their own penalty area, is this a penalty to the opposition? Answer 33. No, a penalty kick is only given against a team when it commits one of the 10 penal direct free kick offenses inside its own penalty area and whilst the ball is still in play. A penalty or direct free kick offense must be committed against an opponent on the field of play and when the ball is still in play. A penalty kick cannot be awarded when an offense is committed between players of the same team, as depicted in this example. The perpetrator of this offense should be sent off the field of play. The referee should restart the match with an indirect free kick awarded to the opposing team to be taken at the place where the infringement occurred. If the above incident occurred when the ball was not in play, then the restart would be appropriate for the stoppage, e.g. goal kick, throw-in, corner kick, etc. When the ball is still in play, any offenses committed by players on the field of play against officials, coaches, spectators, or teammates must be restarted with the award of an indirect free kick to the opposing team. If the misconduct occurred off the field of play whilst the ball was still in play, the restart should be a dropped ball at the place where the ball was when the referee stopped play. Question 34. If whilst the ball is in play, a player on the field of play throws an object at a person sitting in the technical area, what action should the referee take? Answer 34. The referee should stop play, send off the perpetrator for violent conduct, and restart play with an indirect free kick to the opposing team at the place from where the object was thrown. Question 35. If after referee has cautioned a player, that player then profusely apologizes for his misdemeanor, can the referee rescind the caution and not send in the caution misconduct report? Answer 35. Certainly not. Don't even think about not sending in a report. A referee has a duty, Law 5, to report all cautions, sending offs and other misconduct emanating from the match. It is vitally important that referees must not be influenced by pleas of leniency after awarding a caution or a sending off. Referees must be firm in their conviction. Any signs of weakness will only fuel further pleas from other players. Referees must also be aware at all times that the man with the dog watching on the touchline may well be an assessor, evaluator, reporting on, and measuring the referee's performance. Question 36. Is a player allowed to play the ball whilst he is lying on the floor? Should the referee stop play immediately to prevent any dangerous play occurring? Answer 36. There is nothing in the laws to prevent a player attempting to kick the ball whilst he is lying on the ground. In instances of this nature, the referee will need to stop play immediately if he thinks that any player lying on the ground endangers himself or any other players by being in that position. Opposing players will not stop trying to gain possession of the ball just because a player has gone to ground. There are several following scenarios that can develop when a player falls to the ground near the ball. So long as a player is not covering the ball or obstructing any opponents, and if that player can easily make contact with the ball without endangering any other player or himself, play should be allowed to continue. Referees must err on the side of caution when situations of this nature happen in matches involving young children. The safety aspect is far more important than worrying about whether to allow play to continue or not. Referees are advised to be particularly quick in stopping play when children are involved. Children do not have the same perspective as adults when gauging what is a dangerous attempt to kick the ball near a prostrate player and what is not. If the player purposefully lies on top of the ball to prevent it being released, he should be cautioned and an indirect free kick awarded to the opposing team. If the ball becomes inadvertently trapped beneath a player or players, then play should be stopped immediately and restarted with a dropped ball. Stopping play in this instance will undoubtedly prevent unnecessary injury to players. The referee should not expect players to stop of their own accord when a ball becomes trapped beneath players on the ground. The referee must make a quick decision to stop play. In such situations, it is not uncommon to see 3 or 4 players all attempting to kick the ball at the same time. In the heat of a football match, players can lose all sense of decorum and have even been known to kick violently at the ball when it is near the head of a prostrate player. This is not necessarily done on purpose to injure that player. The speed of the modern game is such that actions to gain possession of the ball can be done a split second and instinctively. Nevertheless, the referee should send off any player who he believes has purposefully endangered or injured a player lying on the floor. By committing a violent act or serious foul play when attempting to gain the ball, the referee can consider awarding an indirect free kick if a player lying on the floor is challenged in such a way that the challenging play is deemed to be dangerous. For example, if the ball is positioned very near the head of the player lying on the floor, and an opponent makes a rash attempt to kick the ball, then this could certainly be deemed to be dangerous play. A player does not have to be standing up for dangerous play to be committed against him. If the player lying on the ground, and very near, or lying on, the ball, has injured himself whilst falling, the referee should stop play to allow the player to receive treatment. Play is restarted with a dropped ball. Whether the play for the ball is dangerous or not is left to the discretion of the referee and nobody else. Question 37. Should the referee always caution a player if he leaves the field of play without the referee's permission while celebrating a goal? Answer 37. The referee should only administer a caution if the player gives an excessive demonstration such as jumping over the boundary fence, gesticulating at his opponents or spectators, or ridiculing them by pointing at his shirt, removing his shirt, or any other similar provocative action. The celebration of a goal was an important and emotional part of football, and FIFA relaxed an earlier statement in their FIFA Circular 579 of the 23rd of January, 1996, that any player removing the jersey while celebrating a goal should be cautioned. Players will now no longer be cautioned if they remove their shirt, but they will be cautioned for unsporting behavior if their celebrations are provocative and intended to incite or ridicule opponents or opposing spectators. Players guilty of excessive time wasting while celebrating a goal will also be cautioned. Question 38. Is a fair shoulder charge, i.e. a shoulder-to-shoulder challenge, still allowed? Answer 38. There is no such thing anymore as a fair charge. It is either a foul or it is not a foul. The award of an indirect free kick for a fair charge challenge was taken out of the laws of associated football during the 1998-99 season. Nevertheless, please find respective advice below. The offense is now either a foul or it is not a foul. If two players are running towards the ball and one or both players shoulder charges the other, the referee needs to decide if a foul has been committed and by whom. There is no such thing anymore as a fair shoulder-to-shoulder charge, irrespective of whether the ball was within playing distance or not. A dangerous charge occurs when it is directed at a different part of an opponent's body, such as the middle of the back or in the ribs. Such a charge, even if applied with minimal force, is likely to knock the player off balance at best. At worst, it will cause some physical injury. A player has to be penalized for charging in a manner which is careless, reckless, or uses disproportionate force. A player who violently charges an opponent must be sent off for violent conduct. Look out for this, particularly during a melee, when large numbers of players converge following an incident. A charge to anywhere other than the area of the shoulder or upper arm can be dangerous. Referee and assistant referees should aim to get into the best possible position to view incidents. Aim to try and be alongside players and get a sideways view. The assistant referee is sometimes in a better position to judge challenges. A direct free kick or penalty is to be awarded to opponents if a charge foul is committed on them, irrespective of whether the players are within playing distance or attempting to play the ball or not. Punishments for charging: direct free kick if the charge is deemed to be a foul. Penalty if a charge is deemed to be a foul committed by a defending player in his own penalty area. Send player off if a charge is deemed to be a foul and it prevents a goal-scoring opportunity. If both players, which the referee deems not to be a foul, make a simultaneous innocuous shoulder charge, the game continues. Just shout, 50/50, get on with it. The intention to charge should not be governed by the size or weight of an opponent. For example, a large heavy player charging a very small player may look to be an obvious foul when compared to a small player blatantly charging a large heavy player. Question 39. If an attacker running with the ball very near the touchline plays the ball beyond a nearby defender and then runs over the touchline out of the field of play to run past that defender, what should the referee do if the defender, who is still on the field of play, puts an arm outside of the field of play and holds back the attacker to prevent him from re-entering the field of play to regain possession of the ball? Answer 39. The holding offense actually occurs outside of the field of play. The referee should stop play and caution the defending player. The correct restart is a dropped ball at the place where the ball was located when the referee stopped play. The referee cannot award a free kick for an offense committed outside of the field of play. Whilst the ball is still in play, the restart for any offenses committed outside of the field of play is always dropped ball. Note, holding an opponent includes when a player stretches out his arms across and touches an opponent to prevent him from moving any further. This must not be confused with impedance, obstruction, when a player stretches out his arms to block an opponent but does not initially touch the opponent. Impedance, obstruction, requires no physical contact with an opponent to be an offense. A player who is not playing the ball may commit impedance simply by forcing an opponent to slow down or change their path to the ball. Holding is not impedance, but is the physical act of actually touching an opponent and is penalized with the award of a direct free kick to the opponent's team. If the incident occurred on the field of play whilst the ball was in play, impedance by the use of arms is when a player stretches out his arms or arm to block the progress of an opponent. But the stretching of the arms is initially done without touching the opponent. Albeit that the momentum of the opponent may result in an eventual collision with the blocking player's arm. Impedance is penalized by an indirect free kick awarded to the opponents if the incident occurred on the field of play whilst the ball was in play. If a player's arm is held out long enough and far enough and slash, or if the arm is used in an aggressive manner that leads to the opponent being clearly restrained and held back dash. Both an obstruction and a holding offense have occurred at the same time dash. The referee should always penalize the more serious of any two simultaneous offenses, which in this case is to award a direct free kick for holding and not an indirect free kick for impedance.